This is Tuesday, June 9th, and we're continuing our study in the life of Christ, focusing in John chapter 1, dealing with John the Baptist and his ability to not defend himself when assaulted and attacked by this hostile delegation that comes to question him from Jerusalem. But instead, like most of us need to do, and a lesson I think the church needs to learn today, trust in God's sovereignty and realize that God is our defender and we don't have to defend ourselves. So when we're assaulted and when we're attacked and when we're maligned because of him, just point it like John does back to Jesus. Let's look at these passages together. John chapter 1, verse 19. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" saying that in derision. And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, agreed with them, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he says, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, quoting from Isaiah, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water." Notice he didn't defend himself. He simply stated a fact. "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he coming after me who is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." In other words, what John did when he was confronted and assaulted by this crowd is he understood this key point that we've been focusing on all week in this Tuesday night Bible study, that God is sovereign. Sovereign. He sees everything. He knows everything. He can do everything. Nothing happens without his permission. And that he is our defender. We've looked at some passages that have told us that and shown us that, that he is our defender. And if he is sovereign and he is our defender, then we do not have to defend ourselves. We ended yesterday by me sharing with you a couple other examples of this truth about God being our defender from Scripture. And what I want to share with you today is pretty much just one more. It's an amazing picture, an amazing account of just trusting in God, irrespective of what the circumstances are. And this is found in Exodus chapter 14. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Exodus 14 with me. Now, the context here is when Israel is getting ready to cross the Red Sea. They have left Egypt. Pharaoh has come to himself. Pharaoh realized maybe he made a mistake. Pharaoh sobered up from the 10 plagues, and he decided that he was going to go after and wreak vengeance on these people. Verse number 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And God's involved in this. It says, "The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh's, his horsemen and his army. He overtook them by the sea." And things are looking rather bleak for Israel this time if they're not holding on to faith. If they don't understand that God is their defender, if they have to defend themselves against Israel, a bunch of former slaves now who are not trained in fighting and don't have the weapons and the weaponry that Pharaoh has, they will surely lose and be defeated and all die. Verse 10 says that when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. We don't know what that means. Did they cry out and say, Lord, deliver us. Lord, help us. Lord, you're our defender. Lord, in you and you alone we trust, like the verse we looked at yesterday. Or did they cry out with, woe is me, I can't believe you've done this. And they cry out to the Lord, and obviously God doesn't respond, but they're filled with anger, and they're filled with indignation, and they're filled with fear, so they then turn on the closest thing to them that represents God. And that, of course, is Moses. So after they cried out to the Lord, and we have no idea what God said, if anything, verse 11 says that they said to Moses, this is your fault, Moses. Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. They're rejecting God's sovereignty. They're rejecting God's grace. They're rejecting God's miracles that he did where he brought these plagues upon Egypt. If you remember, they plundered Egypt as they left. They were finally free after hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And now, of course, when it looks like things are going to get bleak because they're unable to defend themselves, instead of trusting the Lord as their sovereign creator and remembering the death angel just nights before, they begin to blame God and blame Moses and say it would have been better for us just to have lived and served the Egyptians to surely die out here, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Because they did not understand what John the Baptist understood about the sovereignty of God and that he is our defender, and therefore we don't have to defend ourselves. Verse 13 says, and Moses said to the people, and I don't know if Moses believed this or Moses was just encouraging them, and you'll find out why in just a few minutes, but he makes these grandiose statements that we sometimes make when we're faced in situations we don't know how to handle. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. And then he says this in verse 14, the Lord will fight for you as your defender, and you shall hold your peace. Now, if the chapter ended there, we can go, hallelujah, Moses. I mean, that's amazing faith, Moses. You belong in the roll call of faith in the book of Hebrews more than once because of this Moses. But after verse 14, we have verse 15. And verse 15 says, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Well, what were you saying, Moses? What was happening, Moses? Because your crying out to the Lord is not included in Scripture. For some reason, the Holy Spirit decided we didn't need to know that. What we do know is that you made this bold faith statement to the people, saying that God will fight for you and defend you if you hold your peace. Then obviously you turned to God and cried out to him and said something. And God's response in verse 15 was this, why do you cry out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Why are you crying to me? If you claim to believe I'm your defender, then quit crying to me, quit complaining to me, quit asking me what we need to do. Do what I've called you to do. Live according to the faith that you have. If God is your defender, act like he's your defender and tell the children of Israel to go forward. And then, of course, the remaining part of this chapter talks about the actual separation of the waters and Israel crossing over on dry land and stuff of that nature. But there's this moment between verse 14 and 15, where Moses appears to have had an opportunity to stand firm and bold like John the Baptist, or to somehow hedge his bet with God. And God's response to Moses is the same response he has to me and to you and to the church today. If I am sovereign, and if I am your defender, and if you truly believe that I will fight for you, then quit crying out to me and go forward. Walk in victory. Walk in faith. and fulfill the calling that I have placed on your life to be light in darkness and to be the salt of the earth until I come. Would you think about that today and resolve yourself as a faith experiment to trust God at His word and to see if He does not shine forth like the sun and help our faith increase and trust Him for who He truly is. Looking forward to sharing with you the next couple verses tomorrow. But in the meantime, have a great evening.